Now we continue in the Revelation Bible study following the detailed outline over on firmfoundationri.com. We're at point 8 and we'll be covering Revelation chapter 2 verses 8 through 11. And this section is the word of the Lord to Smyrna, the persecuted church. First, the city and its history. Well, the etymology, the origin of the name Smyrna, is unknown, but it is quite possibly from the Semitic Smyrna, which is related to the word myrrh. Of course, this was a burial spice. It's also one of the three gifts that was given by the Magi to baby Jesus. Smyrna was located by the Aegean Sea, 40 miles north of Ephesus. At Smyrna is the modern-day city of Izmir, which is in Turkey. Now, that's actually quite a large city today, population being approximately 1.5 million. Smyrna was a Hellenized city. It was built up in the days of Alexander the Great. The people at Smyrna worshiped the god Roma, and they pandered to Rome in order to sever the city from Pergamum's power. And we're going to be talking about the word of the Lord to that city as we continue through the study. Smyrna was a rich and prosperous trade city in the ancient world, but the early church did not share in this. The early church at Smyrna had been marginalized socially by Jews and Gentiles alike, and economically by trade guilds. And we have a cross-reference at this point in Acts chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. Acts chapter 19, verses 24 and 25, where we read, "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, 'Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade.'" And what we learn from this is that the trade unions were very, very powerful, the trade guilds. And if they had decided that they were going to shut out a certain class of people, in the case of Smyrna, it was the Christians, then those people would become economically distressed. And so these trade guilds cooperated with the civil authorities under the tacit approval of Rome. Rome wasn't all that worried about what was going on in the provinces throughout the empire, so long as the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, was maintained. Now, Polycarp, one of the early church fathers, one of the earliest church fathers, he came in shortly after the apostles, and he ministered in Smyrna and was martyred there around 156 AD. And according to tradition, he was boiled in oil and burned at the stake. Now, the description of this church, the church at Smyrna, fits the historical era from 100 to 313 AD. This is a time where the church was faithful and they were experiencing some pretty good growth, even in the midst of the persecution that had come against them. 8b in our study, the exposition of the passage. So we'll begin by reading the passage in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, 'These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty.'" And then in quotes, "But you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So here we meet the eternal and risen Christ. He was dead, And he came to life, giving hope to the Christian martyr. This would in particular be appropriate in light of the persecution and potential martyrdom that they were dealing with over there at the Faithful Church at Smyrna. And we have a cross-reference here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Revelation chapter 2, in verse 9, we read, I know your works. And in the context of what the Lord is saying here to the church at Smyrna, we have a commendation. The Lord is commending their works because they are enduring works. So back to the first letter of Corinthians, first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, we read, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And the church at Smyrna indeed was building upon the foundation, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. In the works that they were doing, because they were of the right motives and the right kind, would ultimately be rewarded, or will ultimately be rewarded in heaven. They were also experiencing tribulation. And here we have the empathy of Jesus, who bears with us and bears us through the trials. The Lord promises to carry us. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He walks alongside of us each and every moment through each and every trial. We have the poverty of Smyrna mentioned. And we already alluded to the source of that, their exclusion from the trade guilds, and therefore they weren't partaking of the economic prosperity of Smyrna. But in quotation marks, in parentheses, in the scriptures, we read, But you are rich. Well, these saints were materially poor, but really they had everything. They were spiritually rich. They were shut out of the trade guilds, but they weren't shut out of heaven. Man can shut us out of a lot of things. Man can limit our opportunities on earth. But man cannot shut us out of heaven. And man cannot limit our opportunities to serve God. Therefore, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Now we read also here of the false profession of those Jews whose works did not bear out the faith. Even that of an orthodox nature. We go to Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor a circumcision, that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. The synagogue of Satan. God has his church. Satan has his church too. Where God establishes the truth and the genuine based upon the truth, Satan establishes the lie and the counterfeit based upon the lie. Do not fear. Fear not, saith the Lord, in many places. And in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the Lord counsels and reassures the saints at Smyrna, do not fear. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 and following, reads this way. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. And this is in the context of Jesus sending out and commanding his 12 disciples. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but beware of men. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you'll be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Now that doesn't mean we can lose our salvation or position with God along the way. It simply means that the endurance to the end is evidence of the reality of our Christian profession and our salvation. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For surely I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, and that's the pagan god, the lord of the flies, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in death. The synagogue of Satan. Do not fear. Now, who is it that these believers at Smyrna were tempted to fear? And who is it that they were up against? Who were these people who populated the synagogue of Satan and sought to inspire fear upon the Lord's people? Well, there are those who persecute God's elect, and they knowingly or unknowingly are doing the bidding of the devil. We also read in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, you will have tribulation 10 days. Now, we have a couple of options here as to how to interpret this. It could be, and this seems the most likely scenario in my mind to fit the context, could be a reference to the localized situation in that day in Smyrna of intense persecution, a localized situation in that day in Smyrna of intense persecution. And or it could be a prophecy regarding the 10 periods of intense persecution which occurred between 100 and 313 AD, which culminated in the very intense persecution under the Emperor Diocletian. So there could have been a near fulfillment and or a more distant fulfillment in Smyrna to which that 10-day tribulation referred. The crown of life, a spiritual crown. And there are several crowns found in the New Testament. James in chapter 1 verse 12 refers to the crown of life also. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25 refers to an imperishable crown. Paul, writing to Timothy, refers to the crown of righteousness in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, refers to the crown of glory. Notwithstanding all of these crowns having been given to us by the Lord, are to be returned to the giver. They are all cast at the feet of Jesus. Revelation 4:10 reads, cast their crowns before the throne.